You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Nerds. Making financial decisions shouldn't feel like picking a TV show. Too many options, too much hype, and no way to know what's actually good. NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast cuts through the clutter. Their finance journalists break through real-world money decisions with clear, research-backed insights. From investing to home buying to credit cards, the nerds help you navigate major financial decisions with confidence. Leave TV to fate. Leave your next financial move to the nerds. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
Yeah, so that happened. It's interesting. On Cleveland, obviously injuries were a massive part of it. They were favored in every game they lost. They were favored in every game of this series, and they lost them all. I mean, they led them lose them all. They lost 4-1. And it's funny because the narrative, with a lot of the conversation around them now, sounds like some version of what I often hear about the Grizzlies. Like the show that precedes this one on Sportsmanlike, they were talking about how they need dogs. And so they need dogs. They're not tough enough. They get injured. They fail in the playoffs. It's just, I don't know. It all sounded vaguely familiar. What did you make of what happened to the Cavs and where they are, where they should head going forward?
Well, I mean, last night was sort of, you can step out of the, like, making proclamations about a team and, like, just sort of, you know, experience what they're experiencing. That game last night was sort of an excruciating watch. It just felt like you're watching a team sort of gradually have the life wrung out of it. And the building sort of felt that you could feel the total lack of energy in the building sort of during the game. I mean, it's a mix of things. Yeah, I mean, obviously Garland and Mitchell were both banged up. Garland, you could tell, like, wasn't right physically. But at the same time, like, they didn't play well. You know, Max Strus wasn't banged up. He goes 0-9 from before. Other guys didn't play well. That happens in life. Sometimes you don't play well, man. Sometimes you lose. In terms of, like, the team going forward, I mean, the idea of, like, you got to break up a 64-win team where the top four guys are all in their 20s and all in their contract because you lose a second-round playoff series is, like, asinine to me, especially in a conference where now Jason Tatum is probably out next year and Giannis might get traded out of the conference. And, like, you know, I mean, the Cleveland can run it back and, like, win the conference next year pretty easily. That said, like, you should always look to tweak your team to try to make it better. And in their case, like, you know, if there's an opportunity for them to be the team that trades for Giannis, they should take a hard look at that too. And so you shouldn't be committed to not touching what you have, but you definitely shouldn't be committed to breaking it up. Like, you just won 64 games and you're young and your guys are under contract.
I agree completely. And yet it always, this is sort of, it affirms one of my views, which is that people overreact to particularly losses that end seasons, right? People overreact to losses that end seasons. Now, it's, you know, we lost 4-1 last year in the same stage. We fired the coach, whatever else. We did this. We had this year, we had 3 All-Stars. We had the coach of the year. We had the defensive player of the year. And look, it happened again. We have to break it up. It's not working. I think you're right, particularly given what we see with Boston. Why? Go back and win 64 games and let's see what happens. Now they have The only free agents, as you point out, Ty Jerome, who was really bad this series, honestly, he's a free agent. I suspect he cost himself some money. Actually, maybe easier to keep him now that, given the series he had. Sam Merrill, I think, is a free agent. And they're also looking at some, like, on there, I think they're looking at second apron stuff. Like, I think they have some money concerns. And the piece that people look at is Garland, I think, right? Like, there's is should he be in play in a way that might be able to improve the team? He was not good in the series, but he was banged up in the series. Your thoughts on the backcourt, for example, on Garland and Mitchell going forward?
Yeah, I mean they're on the small side, and so and now, you know, you give them the money issues. I wouldn't be opposed necessarily to a shake it. It's sort of like the Grizzlies. I wouldn't be opposed to a shake it up move. Sort of a lateral move you hope will actually make you better kind of thing. I wouldn't feel a need for that either. The best players are Mitchell and Mobley. And so that is your focus. If you're making any kind of shake it up trade, those are not the guys you're shaking up. You only move in one of those guys if it's an upgrade kind of deal. And that's only like, you know, would you move Mobley to get Giannis? That's basically right. The only scenario. Otherwise, like, Mitchell and Mobley are the main guys. And if there are trades available that would move Allen or Garland that you think would, like, sort of shake up your formula in a way that would make you better, yeah, you should be willing to do that. But I don't think this is the thing you look at and you say you have to break it up. Again, it's very similar to the Grizzlies, but on an even higher level of achievement, you know?
Yeah, it's amazing. Failure. Season was a failure. That's the stuff that I've been... the stuff that I've been hearing. The other game last night, Oklahoma City, young as they may be, put together a pretty impressive fourth quarter. Jokic was great, but the rest of that team was 1 of 15 in the fourth quarter. Thoughts on that game?
Yeah, I mean, that was Denver last night, man. Jokic is amazing, and they just don't quite have enough around him right now. And it's not just they don't have the depth, which they didn't have, and they tried to ride Jokic the whole fourth quarter and ride guys deep, and they sort of ran out of gas. They didn't have the depth, you know, 2 years ago or whatever it was when they won the title either. But that team that had no depth had a Jamal Murray who was better more consistently as a shot maker. And that team, and I think you saw this through stretches last night, that team had better perimeter defense. You know, and Kentavious Caldwell Pope and Bruce Brown 2 years ago versus Christian Braun and you know, Westbrook or whoever now. Like, they just didn't have the defense, you know, to try to not shut down, but to try to harness SGA a little bit. I think the Denver team 2 years ago would have handled him better defensively with KCP and Brown than this team could. And then, like, you're just really missing Jamal Murray as the guy who could just get hot. Like, he had a couple shots in the row, I think, in the third quarter, and I thought, okay, like, Murray's going to get into a groove, and he just didn't get into a groove. And then after him, like, it's rough, man. I hated it from a Denver perspective when the ball went out to Michael Porter Jr. late in the fourth for the big open shot, because I had no faith in that whatsoever. I would have even not had him on the floor, even though they didn't have other good options. But it was just brutal to see Jokic be that great and have no one else on that team who could make a shot down the stretch. Then on the other side, like, Lu Dort pops off, and it really was, it really did feel like a Thunder team, sort of like, you know, you talk about, you know, getting your scars or like sort of breaking through. That was sort of a breakthrough kind of game for them, it felt like.
Yeah, Shea was great down the stretch. Jalen Williams had a big three. People wondered, the young, can they win in the clutch? Well, they certainly did. They did last night. So you've written some things that I've been too busy to even talk about. We've had too many other things to talk about. But yesterday's piece was sort of lessons that you can learn about the Grizzlies by looking at the playoffs. And I was really intrigued. And maybe you don't have the numbers in front of you, but maybe you can give me give folks the essence of it. You looked at the ages of the combined age of the top three players for the 16 playoff teams. And
right.
I'll just put it this way. What did you learn?
So this was the kind of column, and I do this a lot for better or worse, where I don't start with the conclusion. I just start looking at stuff and follow it wherever I end up going. And sometimes it doesn't always arrive at some firm lesson or whatever. But I started looking at different stuff around the playoffs and around age and different and performance and different stuff. And this is the thing that jumped out to me the most. This is something I've looked at before in terms of like the combined age of a top three. I've looked at that in the context of the Grizzlies and Morant, Jackson, and Bane before. But if you look at it this season, I'm only looking at this season, so I'm not saying this is the case every year, but I'll note that if you look at the Boston team that won last year and the Denver team that won the year before, it was the same thing. And what I found was there's a real sort of pull to the center here where teams where the top three combined age end up in the 80s, like all those teams are the teams succeeding right now. There are five teams that their top three players are combined 80-something years old. They all won in the first round. It looks like probably three of the four are going to be in the conference finals. That's Indiana and likely Minnesota and New York. Denver, the other two are Denver and Boston. So Boston is likely to lose to another team in that group. And then Denver's going to lose to this Oklahoma City team that's really bucking the trend because they're on the young end. But they're on the young end, and that's the best team in the league, which is sort of a different thing. The teams at the older end of the spectrum tended to underperform, lose in the first round, or in Golden State's case, lose in the second, probably. And the team at the young end, either lost in the first round or they underperformed like Cleveland did, losing in the second, with Oklahoma City as the exception. And so there's sort of a too old, too young, just right kind of thing with the age of cores. The Grizzlies' combined age is 76 of their top three, the same as Cleveland. And even a year from now, they still won't be in that 80 sweet spot. Like, they're still 2 years away from that sweet spot.
It's pretty striking, honestly, just to give people a sense of the numbers. The ones at the old end are Golden State with 107 combined years, the Clippers with 96, the Lakers with 92, Milwaukee with 90. All sort of disappointing ends, really. Golden State, not yet, but we see it coming.
Well, they lost in the first round, and I think Golden State might have advanced, but like their problem they're having is a byproduct of age, I think,
right,
in part
exactly,
of their 37-year-old star with a hamstring problem, you know?
Right. And then if you look at the young ones, except for the outlier, and that's because they're just an exceptional team, it's the ones in the, you know, it's Cleveland 76, Memphis 76, Detroit 76, Houston 75, Oklahoma City 73, and Orlando 71. They were all right. Sort of, except for Oklahoma City, disappointing. And then the ones in the middle are the Indiana, Minnesota, New York, Boston and Denver, those are the ones that are in the 80s. So all we have to do is just wait a year or two, Chris, and it's going to magically...
But this is the real question, and I allude to it a little bit. I didn't get deep into this sort of offshoot, but the real question for the Grizzlies is about Morant. And did he peak 3 years ago, or is there a chance he can get back either to the level that he was then or even better? And that's the real question for the Grizzlies. I wrote something when I did my player rankings thing earlier in the week, and my Morant entry, I sort of made the point that if you look at similar kinds of players, like Derrick Rose is an exception because he blew out his knee. Morant hasn't had that kind of injury. But the others, Russell Westbrook is the guy you most compare him to, like the super athletic guard who's not a great shooter. And then sort of John Wall is the other one. Those guys didn't peak at age 23. Now, what they did do is peak at age 26, 27, 28. And so it's possible maybe that the best is still to come with Morant. If so, it needs to come quick because he's probably not going to be his best in his 30s like some guys are. But the question for the Grizzlies is, is the best still to come? Can he be better or as good at 26, 27, 28 as he was at, 22? And if the answer is yes, then keeping this together and aging into that 80s area could work out for the Grizzlies. If the answer is no, well, there's nothing you can do about it in the past tense, but if the answer is no when he peaked at age 22, then the Grizzlies would have been better off then with a team more like Minnesota, where you have like your 22-year-old star and Anthony Edwards, you got a couple 30-year-olds with him, right? They may have been better off if Morant peaked then they may have been better off then like not having young Bane and young Jackson with him. They may have been better off having whatever the version then would have been of like the 30-year-old Pascal Siakam and the 30-year-old Julius Randle and the 32-year-old Rudy Gobert. That's something we'll only know in retrospect. But going forward, there's a real question for the Grizzlies of can they age into this with these guys or not?
Yeah, it's interesting. Is he just one of one? Like, given the way he plays, his slim build, everything, right. You know, his the drama around him, maybe he's one of one. When did Allen Iverson peak? Obviously a different, like, he's stockier, right? He wasn't as willowy as Morant, but he was explosive, a one-man guy. Do you have any top of your head? I don't think he was young when he peaked, was he?
That's a very good question, and I'm going to try to find that out right now while we're talking. We'll see if I can talk about other things and look that up at the same time.
Okay. In the meantime, I will. The other thing that you did point out then while you looked that up is that two of the teams with young stars who are succeeding here, some of the young players with young stars who are succeeding, are Minnesota and Indiana. Now, Indiana's got Halliburton, who's
so Iverson's weird because this is all like, you know, subject interpretation. I'm using the advanced stat win shares, which is like a total value stat, just as an indicator. And Iverson's three best seasons are not clustered. There's three seasons where he was above a 10 win share, so the threshold. One was at age 25, the other was at age 30, and the other was at age 32. And so he still had, like, two of his top three seasons, like, you know, at an older age. And even his peak season was 25, not, like, 23 right. or 22. Morant's 25 right now.
Yeah, the general sense of this whole aging number, the whatever, is that you get better, you know, is that typically you would expect the young player to be improving and becoming a better shooter or figuring things out. Which is why the 80s numbers work, right?
Well, typically the sweet spot is that late 20s, right? It's not necessarily when you're in your 30s, when you can you retain the athleticism, but you've added the skill. That's a kind of sweet spot.
Right.
And I think that's the real question for Morant. It's, if the best has not already happened, the best is going to be probably the remainder of his current contract. He's got three more years on the contract, age 26, 27, 28. So now's the time if it's going to happen.
Right. The other problem, of course, is his off seasons haven't allowed him particularly to be working on his skills, right? I mean, that's the other thing, is because he's been so banged up. But anyway, to the other point I was going to make that you made was that two of these, like Minnesota has a young star in Anthony Edwards, Indiana has a young star in Tyrese Halliburton, although I don't know how young he is, but they've got older dudes there. Randall's right. 32. No, Randall's 30. Gobert's 32.
32. Right.
Yeah. Siakam's 31.
Like 30 or. Right.
31. Miles Turner's 29. And so they have, they got a different mix. Okay. And then you also ask the question of how far away are the Grizzlies? What did you, and some of this is just looking at the routes, right? The routes created the impression, oh my God, there must be a huge dip between Memphis and Oklahoma City. We've seen a lot of routes in the playoffs generally, but what did you tease out of this section?
Yeah, I think what's happened subsequently in the playoffs, clearly the Grizzlies were not as good as the Thunder or not close to as good as the Thunder. But if they were a little bit closer than game one led people to believe, I feel like because that was only game one for the Grizzlies, it was sort of game one for the playoffs in some ways, or close to it. I guess it was the first game of the second day. That sort of really, like, solidified some impressions people had that sort of stuck. And as the playoffs have gone on, it looks a little bit more questionable, right? Like, you know who else, you know, got down by 50 to Oklahoma City? Denver did. You know who else lost by even more? Miami on their home floor. And so that game was an outlier within the Grizzly series, but it wasn't a total outlier within the playoffs. There have been other games like that. And you look at the rest of the series, like the Thunder were better, but they didn't like run the Grizzlies off the floor in total, right? Like those two games in Memphis were competitive. If Morant doesn't get hurt, they win at least one. Maybe they win two. And then if you think about the other series, if the Grizzlies win one or two other games and they're not in a different first-round series, I think it looks different. Now, I don't think you could have any faith that the Grizzlies would have won a series against any of the other West teams. And so there is that. But the idea that they were somehow apart from the rest of the conference playoff teams qualitatively, like, you know, some kind of hard, significant way, I just don't think bears scrutiny.
We do have other news, and it's the film news, and it's that the summer drive-in has officially closed, or announced that they are closing. No great surprise, right, Chris? And I mean, we've talked about the it feels like they've been limping along. But your thoughts on this news? They have something this week, by the way, that you included in your film review, right? Didn't they have? Don't they have something going on this week?
Yeah, the monthly Time Warp drive-in series is this weekend. It's the Bill and Ted movies. It sounds like maybe that might be the last of those of the Time Warp series. I haven't seen the date on the summer drive-in closure. I mean, the drive-in movie theaters are a thing that's been dying out slowly all over the country. And it's probably only lasted in Memphis as long as it has, because the Memphis movie scene is dominated by one locally owned company. Right. And so it wasn't like some corporate owned thing that would have gone away a long time ago. And I've always had mixed feelings about the drive-in. We've talked about this before. I like the idea of the drive-in. I actually don't much like the functionality of it. And I'm a big movie person. I'm in theaters all the time, but I don't really go to the drive-in.
Yeah, I think it feels like a moment whose time has passed. All right, Chris, read the piece over at the Daily Memphian. We're going to take a break. Come back in a moment. Sam Hardiman next. Thanks, Chris.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Nerds. Making financial decisions shouldn't feel like picking a TV show. Too many options, too much hype, and no way to know what's actually good. NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast cuts through the clutter. Their finance journalists break through real-world money decisions with clear, research-backed insights. From investing to home buying to credit cards, the nerds help you navigate major financial decisions with confidence. Leave TV to fate. Leave your next financial move to the nerds. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
Optimize your nutrition this year with Factor, America's number one ready-to-eat meal service. Factor's fresh, never-frozen meals are dietitian-approved, ready to eat in just 2 minutes. Choose from 40 weekly options across 8 dietary preferences like Calorie Smart, Protein Plus, and Keto. Eat smarter at factormeals.com/listen50 and use code LISTEN50 for 50% off plus free shipping on your first box. factormeals.com/listen50, code LISTEN50.
Looking for a job is lonely. Endless searching, phone calls that go nowhere, applications that vanish into thin air. What if you could link with dozens of local companies who are hiring right now with just one connection? That's Express Employment Professionals. Find us at expresspros.com. One connection, endless opportunities, and no fees ever for job seekers. Express Employment Professionals. expresspros.com.
Sam, before we get to the important stories, and there are several that I want to talk to you about the city of Memphis. Yesterday, you and I were texting back and forth about the Pablo Torre, Bill Belichick story on Pablo Torre's podcast. And I had not, I'll be honest, I had not listened to it. So it was hard for me to comment. You then proceeded to listen to it, and given that you've done the work that the rest of us haven't done, what did you discover?
Yeah, so first I want to say, like, Jeff, you are a uniquely skilled individual, obviously. And one of the skills you have is, like, really, you know, getting me down a rabbit hole. And so your text yesterday, yeah. Like, I was like, all right. Like, I had seen snippets of it. Like, it had come across, you know, my Twitter feed, my Instagram feed.
And then I was like, all right, I'm going to go in. I'm going to go in for 45 minutes here. And I put my headphones in. I put the Jets and Stars game on mute. And after I finished writing the news, and I listened to it. And what I've learned, A, that's 45 minutes of my life I won't get back. But second is this thing is just weirder and weirder. Like, essentially, like, there may be, like, some cover-up happening in the, like, UNC, like, wives and girlfriends, WAGs directory of, like, Jordan Hudson might have been 19 years old when she and Belichick met. Like, this whole thing is odd. It is, at the end of the podcast, Paolo Torre was quoting Seth Wickersham's book, I think it's Better to Be Feared, about the Patriots dynasty. And, you know, Bob Kraft essentially calls Belichick an idiot savant of, like, he is, like, a savant about football. He may be idiotic about other things. That's certain, like, what I listened to yesterday is certainly possible, that Bill Belichick is just a guy who, like, through conditioning, through everything, is a brilliant football mind, maybe a singular football mind that we'll ever see. But it's just a really odd dude off the football field. And I'm, like, kind of sad about it. I'm also, like, maybe this is why, like, Bill Belichick, when he was, like, great at not talking to the media for, like, 25 years, maybe the reason he didn't talk to the media is because we would have learned how weird he was earlier. Like, that's my takeaway, and there we are on the Jordan Hudson.
It's a worthy listen, I take it, if people are interested in the seamy tale or whatever tale it is.
Seamy is correct. Yes. Yeah. I mean, they're just like, I mean, it's a lot of anonymous sources saying, like, am I impugning Paolo Torre? Like I clearly is putting some effort into this, some reporting into this. Yeah, it's worth it if you like weird, but it's weird.
So when you say that it's weird, is the podcast weird? Is his relationship with Jordan Hudson weird?
Is the North Carolina part of their relationship weird? That's what I would say is, like, the whole, like, how they maybe met. There are these, like, alleged, you know, reports that Torre gets from, like, you know, anonymous sources about, like, how she involved himself in his underdog fantasy ad and then was maybe completely hoodwinked that her portion of it that she was demanding to be a part of, like, wasn't actually being filmed and the camera was off, so to speak. Like, it just gives this backstory of, like, that really weird CBS Sunday morning interview they did, how, like, this isn't maybe the only time that Jordan Hudson and Bill Belichick haven't understood that there's a live mic. Like, they were filming something in NFL studios and Jordan, like, leaned into Bill apparently. And the two of them just started talking smack on everybody in the studio, not knowing that the control room could hear everything they said. Like, just really bananas behavior is what I would describe is the Paolo Torre podcast outlines, you know, quoting people familiar with the matter, et cetera.
Right. Well, thank you for the review, Sam. We appreciate it.
Sure.
All right. We had a couple pieces of news from you that impact the Grizzlies and FedEx Forum. One quite specifically, one more generally. Let's go to the specific first. You had the news earlier this week, I think it was, that they have selected an architect for the forum renovations, correct?
That's correct.
Who, what, and what's the significance of this? Does this mean, by the way, like, is there a, like, every bit of these things seems promising every time they take another step forward to this thing actually happening. And we sort of read the look for breadcrumbs. In the end, we want a signed lease. Like, as people who care about Memphis and the Grizzlies and their future, we want a signed lease. So how should we view this? Should we view it as a positive sign? How positive a sign does it appear to be? What are we to make of this other than that they need an architect if they're going to do this thing?
Yeah, so they've selected Kansas City-based Populous Architects, which had done some early work on behalf of the Grizzlies. In this process, but, you know, it was part of the shortlist that was narrowed down. There's $2 million in taxpayer money that's going to go to Populous for this early work. That is not all the work. That's not all the money that Populous will get. But to the root of your question, Jeff, is I would say we are inching ever forward, right? And by inching, I genuinely mean inching, okay? We're not we're not moving quickly. We're moving quite slowly, deliberately here. And as you said, if you're going to renovate a stadium, you need an architect, right? You need an official architect. At the same time, that does not mean we have a lease. It does not mean we're maybe even particularly close to a lease at this point. I will say less on that front, but it is again, things that have to happen for a lease to happen and a stadium to be renovated are happening. All right. That word salad aside, again, we're inching towards this. And when we get to an actual resolution and a signing on a dotted line is anybody's guess. But I wouldn't take what's happening as a negative step. I also wouldn't say, like, wave the flags and we have victory over lease day. You know, we're not there.
That would be good. Victory over lease day. Good. Well, I guess
I was thinking of that iconic photo of the people kissing. Yeah.
Exactly. Sorry. On Beale Street, they grabbing a handy sailor, right? I'll take inching, I guess. Inching is better than not inching. Okay, but then there's other news, and this only impacts the FedEx Forum project, which is there used to be anytime public monies were spent on a building in Memphis, there was always some percentage was focused to go to minority contractors, feeling like, you know what, they maybe should make sure that everybody gets a piece of this pie. And I gather that is no longer the case in the state of Tennessee and now in the city of Memphis. Is that right?
That's right. And so we reported this morning on a bill that passed the Tennessee General Assembly during the session, but Governor Bill Lee actually finally signed on Friday. And what it is called the Dismantling DEI Act. And what it does is it forbids essentially carve-outs for minority contracting, women-owned businesses, et cetera. And in the city of Memphis is now operating under the assumption that their Office of Business Diversity and Compliance, which is the fancy term for the Minority Contracting Department, that ensured that some public dollars, when they were being spent, did go to minority firms. The city is now operating as if that department does not really exist, in the sense of there can be no carve-outs, there can be no goals on these projects. And I want to be clear, like, the way minority contracting works and worked before this bill was not just, we're giving people work that they don't deserve, and we do all this. Like, I want to be very clear, there are very strict legal standards that are set by essentially a Supreme Court precedent, okay, on how minority contracting was supposed to work. And there have to be, like, legitimate studies that, for example, a population that by percentage of the population should be getting work in a community is not getting work. And every place that has a program of this type had to conduct such a disparity study. And so these are all very strict legal programs that are designed not to just be taking business from one to give to another, okay? And I want to be clear of that. And so, yeah, that's where we are in the city. This no longer happens in this Timonis, a city that is 64% black. And that is, it's gone. And whether or not there'll be some litigation in the future on this, because, you know, with all these bills, there are unintended consequences, is up in the air. But right now, the city of Memphis and its giant budget of almost $1 billion, about $850-880 million, will not have, you know, significant minority participation in it for, you know, the services that are being paid for, right? Like, you don't have minority participation personnel expense, but people get my point. And so, yeah, this is big news, not just for Memphis, but for the state.
Yeah, so it's not the state just saying, we're not going to give out our money with a minority contracting requirement. It's literally banning municipalities from doing the same. From carving up their money however they wish. Is that right?
Yeah, that's right. That's right. And to be clear, there are some carve-outs still in this law of, if you, say, have a vestigial federal contract that was given out during the first Trump administration, the Biden administration, or even the Obama administration, because those contracts still exist, because government moves really slowly, and if there were minority contracting requirements as part of that, you can still have those minority contracting requirements. But going forward, that is not allowed.
Okay, and then finally, Sam, before we let you go, you had another piece, City of Memphis asking a federal judge to sanction Tyre Nichols' attorneys. Why?
I'll just why. We'll leave it open-ended. So on Monday evening, Tyre Nichols' legal team, his family's attorney's legal team, issued a statement essentially condemning some posters that have appeared around the city that the three former Memphis police officers who were acquitted of second-degree murder charges last week were wanted dead or unalive, okay? And they were condemning those. They said they don't like that. This isn't something that we want. In the second part of their statement, they said that keep in mind that this lawsuit is for $550 million in damages to the city of Memphis, okay? The civil rights lawsuit that is still pending from Tyre Nichols' family against the city is for $550 million in damages. What they said in the second part of the statement is, any saying that this $550 million lawsuit, and I'm paraphrasing it here, would be bankrupt the city is irresponsible fear-mongering. And the city's attorneys, as they're prone to do, and they do this often very, you know, after hours, they always do this after hours, filed a motion for sanctions yesterday that essentially used quotes from one of Nichols' attorneys, Ben Crump, that said when he said in Memphis on June 5th, 2023, that the intent of some of these lawsuits were to bankrupt municipalities so cops didn't kill people anymore. And to say that, no, in fact, y'all have said this, and this is what is happening. And the city has also argued for months in legal filings, almost more than a year now, that this lawsuit could bankrupt the city. And so they asked essentially to have Judge Mark Norris rule, say, hey, have them retract the statement, have them send a new version of the statement to every media outlet that published this story about the statement. We did not publish a initial story on the statement because we made a decision on that. And late last night, Tyre Nichols' attorneys, the family attorneys, did in fact issue a new statement before a judge ruled on this. The judge has not ruled on it. I just checked the docket about 25 minutes ago. The judge has not ruled on it. Before the judge could rule on it, they did amend the statement and point out that the city is in fact self-insured, which means any judgment of any significance in this case will not be covered by any insurance policy, but instead be borne by the taxpayers of Memphis.
You can read that piece and all piece Sam's work over at the Daily Memphian. Thanks, Sam.
Thank you, Jeff.
All right. We got to take a break. Before that, I will tell you, if you are selling your house, Josh Hysaw would be the person to call. Josh and the team at Keller Williams Realty, 901-461-8147, 901-461-8147. Josh has the buyers.com. Josh not only has the buyers, he's got more than 300 five-star Google reviews. That's right, more than 300 five-star Google reviews. So if you want to sell your house, and now is a fine time. It's spring, everything looking brilliant. People are making their moves. Now is the time. And among other things, Josh will make a instant cash offer for your home. Kyle and Amanda had a house, and they were thinking of doing the same thing. They were like, how are we going to sell this house? Are we going to put $20,000 into fixing it up? Nope. Josh went out to their house, and he gave them a offer for full market value of the home. This isn't like these robocalls. Hey, do you want to sell your home for half price? No. Josh will come out, look at your house, and give you an offer, full market value of your home for an instant cash offer. And then you got 4 months to move if you want to go that route. Again, the phone number is 901-461-8147. Josh has the buyers.com. Back in a moment, Jeff Calkins Show, 92.9 FM ESPN. Sam,
what kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Nerds. Making financial decisions shouldn't feel like picking a TV show. Too many options, too much hype, and no way to know what's actually good. NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast cuts through the clutter. Their finance journalists break through real-world money decisions with clear, research-backed insights. From investing to home buying to credit cards, the nerds help you navigate major financial decisions with confidence. Leave TV to fate. Leave your next financial move to the nerds. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
Optimize your nutrition this year with Factor, America's number one ready-to-eat meal service. Factor's fresh, never-frozen meals are dietitian-approved, ready to eat in just 2 minutes. Choose from 40 weekly options across 8 dietary preferences like Calorie Smart, Protein Plus, and Keto. Eat smarter at factormeals.com/listen50 and use code LISTEN50 for 50% off plus free shipping on your first box. Factormeals.com/listen50, code LISTEN50.
If you're ready for a new job, let Express Employment Professionals help you. Express is already hiring for summer jobs in a variety of industries. Job seekers never pay a fee at Express. Go to expresspros.com to find your location. That's expresspros.com.
Before we get to the important stories, and there are several that I want to talk to you about the city of Memphis. Yesterday, you and I were texting back and forth about the Pablo Torre, Bill Belichick story on Pablo Torre's podcast, and I had not, I'll be honest, I had not listened to it, so it was hard for me to comment. You then proceeded to listen to it, and given that you've done the work that the rest of us haven't done, what did you discover?
Yeah, so first I want to say, like, Jeff, you are a uniquely skilled individual, obviously, and one of the skills you have is, like, really, you know, getting me down a rabbit hole. And so your text yesterday, yeah. Like, I was like, all right, like, I had seen snippets of it. Like, it had come across, you know, my Twitter feed, my Instagram feed. And then I was like, all right, I'm going to go in for 45 minutes here. And I put my headphones in, I put the Jets and Stars game on mute. And after I finished writing the news, and I listened to it, and what I've learned, that's 45 minutes of my life I won't get back. But second, is this thing is just weirder and weirder. Like, essentially, like, there may be, like, some cover-up happening in the, like, UNC, like, wives and girlfriends, WAGs directory of, like, Jordan Hudson might have been 19 years old when she and Belichick met. Like, this whole thing is odd. It is, at the end of the podcast, Pablo Torre was quoting Seth Wickersham's book, I think it's Better to Be Feared, about the Patriots dynasty. And, you know, Bob Kraft essentially calls Belichick an idiot savant of, like, he is, like, a savant about football. He may be idiotic about other things. That's certain, like, what I listened to yesterday is certainly possible that Bill Belichick is just a guy who, like, through conditioning, through everything, is a brilliant football mind, maybe a singular football mind that we'll ever see. But it's just a really odd dude off the football field. And I'm, like, kind of sad about it. I'm also like, maybe this is why, like, Bill Belichick, when he was, like, great at not talking to the media for, like, 25 years, maybe the reason he didn't talk to the media is because we would have learned how weird he was earlier. Like, that's my takeaway, and there we are on the Jordan Hudson.
It's a worthy listen, I take it, if people are interested in the seamy tale or whatever tale it is.
Seamy is correct. Yes. Yeah. I mean, they're just like, I mean, it's a lot of anonymous sources saying, like, am I impugning Pablo Torre? Like I clearly putting some effort into this, some reporting into this. Yeah, it's worth it if you like weird, but it's weird.
So when you say that it's weird, is the podcast weird? Is his relationship with Jordan Hudson weird?
Is the North Carolina part of the relationship weird? That's what I would say is, like, the whole, like, how they maybe met. There are these, like, alleged, you know, reports that Torre gets from, like, you know, anonymous sources about, like, how she involved himself in his underdog fantasy ad and then was maybe completely hoodwinked that her portion of it that she was demanding to be a part of, like, wasn't actually being filmed and the camera was off, so to speak. Like, it just gives this backstory of, like, that really weird CBS Sunday morning interview they did, how, like, this isn't maybe the only time that Jordan Hudson and Bill Belichick haven't understood that there's a live mic. Like, they were filming something in NFL studios, and Jordan, like, leaned into Bill, apparently, and the two of them just started talking smack on everybody in the studio, not knowing that the control room could hear everything they said. Like, just really bananas behavior is what I would describe as the Pablo Torre podcast outlines, you know, quoting people familiar with the matter, et cetera.
Right. Well, thank you for the review, Sam. We appreciate it. Sure. All right. We had a couple pieces of news from you that impact the Grizzlies and FedEx Forum. One quite specifically, one more generally. Let's go to the specific first. You had the news earlier this week, I think it was, that they have selected an architect for the forum renovations, correct?
That's correct.
Who, what, and what's the significance of this? Does this mean, by the way, like, is there a, like, every bit of these things seems promising every time they take another step forward to this thing actually happening. And we sort of read the look for breadcrumbs. In the end, we want a signed lease. Like, as people who care about Memphis and the Grizzlies and their future, we want a signed lease. So how should we view this? Should we view it as a positive sign? How positive a sign does it appear to be? What are we to make of this other than that they need an architect if they're going to do this thing?
Yeah, so they've selected Kansas City-based Populous Architects, which had done some early work on behalf of the Grizzlies in this process, but, you know, was part of the shortlist that was narrowed down. There's $2 million in taxpayer money that's going to go to Populous for this early work. That is not all the work. That's not all the money that Populous will get. But to the root of your question, Jeff, is I would say we are inching ever forward, right? And by inching, I genuinely mean inching, okay? We're not moving quickly. We're moving quite slowly, deliberately here. And as you said, if you're going to renovate a stadium, you need an architect, right? You need an official architect. At the same time, that does not mean we have a lease. It does not mean we're maybe even particularly close to a lease at this point. I will say less on that front, but it is again, things that have to happen for a lease to happen and a stadium to be renovated are happening. All right. That word salad aside, again, we're inching towards this. And when we get to an actual resolution and a signing on a dotted line is anybody's guess, but I wouldn't take what's happening as a negative step. I also wouldn't say, like, wave the flags and we have victory over lease day. You know, we're not there.
That would be good. Victory over lease day. Well, good. Well,
I
guess
I was thinking of that iconic photo of people kissing.
Exactly. On Beale Street, they grabbing a little handy sailor. Right. So, I'll take inching, I guess. Inching is better than not inching. Okay, but then there's other news, and this only impacts the FedEx Forum project, which is there used to be, anytime public monies were spent on a building in Memphis, there was always some percentage was focused to go to minority contractors, feeling like, you know what, they maybe should make sure that everybody gets a piece of this pie. And I gather that is no longer the case in the state of Tennessee and now in the city of Memphis. Is that right?
That's right. And so we reported this morning on a bill that passed the Tennessee General Assembly during the session, but Governor Bill Lee actually finally signed on Friday. And what it is called the Dismantling DEI Act. And what it does is it forbids essentially carve-outs for minority contracting, women-owned businesses, et cetera. And in the city of Memphis is now operating under the assumption that their Office of Business Diversity and Compliance, which is the fancy term for the Minority Contracting Department, that ensured that some public dollars, when they were being spent, did go to minority firms. The city is now operating as if that department does not really exist, in the sense of there can be no carve-outs, there can be no goals on these projects. And I want to be clear, like, the way minority contracting works and worked before this bill was not just, oh, we're giving people work that they don't deserve, and we do all this. Like, I want to be very clear. There are very strict legal standards that are set by essentially a Supreme Court precedent, okay, on how minority contracting was supposed to work. And there have to be, like, legitimate studies that, for example, a population that by percentage of the population should be getting work in a community is not getting work. And every place that has a program of this type had to conduct such a disparity study. And so these are all very strict legal programs that are designed not to just be taking business from one to give to another, okay? And I want to be clear of that. And so, yeah, that's where we are in the city. This no longer happens in this. Keep in mind, this is a city that is 64% black, and that is it's gone. And it's, and you know, whether or not there'll be some litigation in the future on this, because, you know, with all these bills, there are unintended consequences, is up in the air. But right now, the city of Memphis and its giant budget of almost $1 billion, about $850-880 million, will not have, you know, significant minority participation in it for, you know, the services that are being paid for, right? Like, you know, I'm minority participation personnel expense, but people get my point. And so, yeah, this is big news, not just for Memphis, but for the state.
Yeah, so it's not the state just saying we're not going to give out our money with a minority contracting requirement. It's literally banning municipalities from doing the same, from carving up their money however they wish. Is that right?
Yeah, that's right. That's right. And to be clear, there are some carve-outs still in this law of, if you say have a vestigial federal contract that was given out during the first Trump administration, the Biden administration, or even the Obama administration, because those contracts still exist, because government moves really slowly. And if there were minority contracting requirements as part of that, you can still have those minority contracting requirements. But going forward, that is not allowed.
Okay, and then finally, Sam, before we let you go, you had another piece, City of Memphis asking a federal judge to sanction Tyre Nichols' attorneys. Why?
We'll leave it open-ended. So on Monday evening, Tyre Nichols' legal team, his family's attorney's legal team, issued a statement essentially condemning some posters that have appeared around the city that the three former Memphis police officers who were acquitted of second-degree murder charges last week were wanted dead or unalive, okay? And they were condemning those. They said they don't like that. This isn't something that we want. In the second part of their statement, they said that keep in mind that this lawsuit is for $550 million in damages to the city of Memphis, okay? The civil rights lawsuit that is still pending from Tyre Nichols' family against the city is for $550 million in damages. What they said in the second part of the statement is, any saying that this $550 million lawsuit, and I'm paraphrasing it here, would be bankrupt the city is irresponsible fear-mongering. And the city's attorneys, as they're prone to do, and they do this often very, you know, after hours, they always do this after hours, filed a motion for sanctions yesterday that essentially used quotes from one of Nichols' attorneys, Ben Crump, that said, when he said in Memphis on June 5th, 2023, that the intent of some of these lawsuits were to bankrupt municipalities so cops didn't kill people anymore. And to say that, no, in fact, y'all have said this, and this is what is happening. And the city has also argued for months in legal filings, almost more than a year now, that this lawsuit could bankrupt the city. And so they asked essentially to have Judge Mark Norris rule, say, hey, have them retract the statement, have them send a new version of the statement to every media outlet that published this story about the statement. We did not publish an initial story on the statement because we made a decision on that. And late last night, Tyre Nichols' attorneys, the family attorneys, did in fact issue a new statement before a judge ruled on this. The judge has not ruled on it. I just checked the docket about 25 minutes ago. The judge has not ruled on it. Before the judge could rule on it, they did amend the statement and point out that the city is in fact self-insured, which means any judgment of any significance in this case will not be covered by any insurance policy, but instead be borne by the taxpayers of Memphis.
You can read that piece and all piece Sam's work over at the Daily Memphian. Thanks, Sam.
Thank you, Jeff.
All right. We got to take a break. Before that, I will tell you, if you are selling your house, Josh Hysaw would be the person to call. Josh and the team at Keller Williams Realty, 901-461-8147, 901-461-8147. Josh has the buyers.com. Josh not only has the buyers, he's got more than 300 five-star Google reviews. That's right, more than 300 five-star Google reviews. So if you want to sell your house, and now is a fine time. It's spring, everything looking brilliant. People are making their moves. Now is the time. And among other things, Josh will make a instant cash offer for your home. Kyle and Amanda had a house, and they were thinking of doing the same thing. They were like, how are we going to sell this house? Do we going to put $20,000 into fixing it up? Nope. Josh went out to their house, and he gave them a offer for full market value of the home. This isn't like these robocalls. Hey, do you want to sell your home for half price? No, no. Josh will come out, look at your house, and give you a offer, full market value of your home for an instant cash offer. And then you got 4 months to move if you want to go that route. Again, the phone number is 901-461-8147. JoshHasTheBuyers.com. Back in a moment, Jeff Calkins Show, 92.9 FM ESPN.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Nerds. Making financial decisions shouldn't feel like picking a TV show. Too many options, too much hype, and no way to know what's actually good. NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast cuts through the clutter. Their finance journalists break through real-world money decisions with clear, research-backed insights. From investing to home buying to credit cards, the nerds help you navigate major financial decisions with confidence. Leave TV to fate. Leave your next financial move to the nerds. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
Looking for a job is lonely. Endless searching, phone calls that go nowhere, applications that vanish into thin air. What if you could link with dozens of local companies who are hiring right now with just one connection? That's Express Employment Professionals. Find us at expresspros.com. One connection, endless opportunities. And no fees ever for job seekers. Express Employment Professionals. ExpressPros.com.
Dollar Shave Club delivers premium razors without premium prices. Get close, comfortable six-blade shaves, swift rinse and four blades for thicker hair, and translucent shave butter for precision. Visit DollarShaveClub.com/home run. Use promo code HOMERUN for 20% off.